Hey everybody, it's Chuck Garfine, and it's the White Sox Talk Podcast, coming to you as always by our friends at Wintrust. So, it was a painful end. A painful end of the White Sox season. Losing to the Astros in four games in the ALDS, and like that, losing 10-1 in Game 4, you gotta be bleeping me! It was brutal. And while the win in Game 3 was incredible, in the end, this is what I can tell you. The White Sox are who they are. Who are the White Sox in 2021? Who were the White Sox? They were a team that won 93 games and a division title. Yes, the AL Central was weak, but that's not their fault. They earned the AL Central title. But they struggled to beat the good teams on the road. And when it came time to face the Astros in the playoffs and prevent them from making it to the ALCS for the fifth time in a row, they just weren't as good as them. Or at least they certainly didn't play as good as they did in the ALDS. And the White Sox season came to an end. I've got a lot more thoughts on this and on the season, some of which I'm going to share on this podcast. More is coming on the next podcast. But here, we got some good stuff. It is me with Ozzie Guillen and Jason Benetti on the field after the game, breaking down what happened in Game 4, how things did not turn out better for the Sox in the playoffs. And we also tackle a lot of the sneaky stuff, as Ryan Tepera called it, questioning the integrity of the Astros. Tony La Russa saying they purposely hit Jose Abreu at the end of the game, possibly as retaliation for that, and more. So, what prevented the White Sox from beating the Astros? That is coming your way.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at Wintrust.com/SoxTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Ball hit deep, way back. Deep to left field.
Holy cow. Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark. You can put it on the board. Yes.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
We're here. I got to be 100 White Sox fans here as well. They're sticking around.
We got a live studio audience.
We have a live studio audience here. You know, there's a lot of thoughts, you know, racing through my mind. I really thought they'd score more than one run here in Game 4 as everyone's chanting Ozzie's name.
Because I don't wear a uniform.
I think we should. First off, Ozzie, your thoughts on how the things unfolded here today.
Well, it's kind of funny because when I saw the standing pitcher, when they shoot, McCollum to be the starting pitcher, I said, oh, wow, we have opportunity because the White Sox always, for some reason, playing well in this ballpark.
Yeah.
And then I say, if they win today, they're in trouble because they don't have the best men out there. But I don't know. It's sad. I don't know how to take it because they worked so hard all year long. All the sun just, like, it's over like that. We even know about it. I thought it's tough. It's going to be better today. I did because when the first game, I said, you know what, they had a chance.
That's what I felt. There was so much momentum from Game 3.
Rodon comes out, he starts throwing 97, 98, 99, and we looked at each other like, Wow.
We're going to Houston.
Here we go. I mean, that's going to happen. And then, you know, you got a little erratic.
It's one thing about it. I had to prop to Rodon because he went out and said, you know, I'm pitching. I don't care what I have when he got through 99, 98, 99, did it.
Yeah.
And also to Kopech. We never thought Kopech could be
available
to pitch today. Also, I see this kid. Is this one you can see what those guys are all about? It's all about the team, not about me. And to have the opportunity to see that happen early in the game, it could have been one of the best thing happen this year for the White Sox, because when I see those kids going out, when it's a lot of question mark, we don't know. It might be the same. It might not be the same. All of a sudden, we see Kopy warming up, and I go, wait a minute, what's going on here? And he come out and did what he did. My pro to them, and we thank them to do what he did.
Yeah, we're going to break down the game in a little bit, but what are your thoughts after what just happened and the whole season in general?
Yeah, it's a weird time for me right now because, you know, we walk out onto the field here from down in the tunnel, and we hear a lot of fans yelling at us, don't worry about it, 2022 is coming, which I love from Sox fans. But I also think you have to do a post-mortem on this season, and you have to say what went wrong, why were the Astros the better team in the three wins. That's what we're here for in part.
Yeah.
But, I love the good signs we saw this season. But I know at this point, if you're a Sox fan, that's not enough. And I think coming from where we were in 2018 and 2019, that's a good place to be. Where losing in the ALDS to the Astros isn't enough. That means there's growth, that means there's potential, and it means there's expectations, which you want as a fan base. So it's sad for me that this season came to an end the way it did, especially an ugly 10-1. You got some yelling in the ninth inning. So, you know, I wish it didn't end like this, but I think there's a lot to be hopeful for. That doesn't mean you don't get to be frustrated, angry, whatever it is about today and the way this series went. Those can live together.
I wish this team at least went to the ALCS. That was, you know, my thought. Like, get to the ALCS. That means you've, like, advanced from last year, even though the wild card series didn't get you to the ALDS last year. But at the same time, I look at what happened here, and it's almost like, okay, you now can compare your team to the Astros. Where do we as the White Sox compare to this team? Where did we come up short? We need to fix that and be better next year. What do you think?
Be honest with you, I think the starters had to go longer than that.
Yes.
Sorry.
They had
Don't be sorry about that.
No, you know what? Because now people are sensitive now about everything. By the way, the Astros beat us with one guy, McCollum. That's it. The only faith they have, it was in that kid. All of a sudden, everybody come out and contribute.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we know it's a team. We know those guys can hit. They got the experience. People thought, oh, wow, the fans going to be a factor. Yeah, it was. But you think the Astros worry about what people going to tell them? No.
They've been hearing it for 2 years.
They've been here that since 2018, 19, 20. Right. Because the people are where they are. They not. I think to me, that getting more excited. They're getting going. So, okay. Yeah. And the Astros had something to prove. Two things. I just talked to Dusty Baker a couple minutes ago. I say, if you win this thing, you have a great chance to be Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. One thing. Another thing is the Astros had to prove people we don't need a bim, bam, boom, band to win.
To make it legitimate.
That's why I think the Astros have a chip on their shoulder. They have something to prove. And they did it today with all these great fans after them, and then they don't care.
Jason, if someone would have told me after the regular season where the White Sox had the number one or the lowest ERA for a starting rotation in the American League that they'd have a 10 ERA in these four games. Now, granted, it was four games against, let's say, that's the best offense, I would say, in baseball, would you say?
It's one of them.
Yeah.
The thing that hits me watching this is the White Sox rotation wasn't, in the end, what it was in July.
Yeah.
You had all-stars all over the place. You have Rodon and Lynn and Giolito and Dylan Cease pitching like he was. That top four didn't pitch like they did when the Sox were really humming. And I'm not laying the blame on them. I think there were some situations that maybe you could handle differently in terms of starting pitchers coming out when they did in this series. But to me, there's a lot of hope because those guys are all coming back. If they pitch like they did, the Sox are going to be right back here again with more experience, like what you're talking about, Ozzy. I think that experience does play, especially in the postseason.
It's no doubt about it. Besides that, I think, you know what, those guys playing better than White Sox did.
Defense,
pitching, all, you know, bullpen did a tremendous job. I think they, overall, they show you, you know, we are here. You have a way to go. They went from last year, be eliminated right away, then make another step. Hopefully next year, the pre-American League champion, they go to the American League Championship. Mm-hmm. Then they win the World Series because we go step by step. I think the front office people did a great job to put this thing together. I think this ball club learn about these situations. I think they're going to grow up with. If they grow up together the same way they grow up, I think this ball club be excited for the next couple of years.
I want to get your thoughts on what Tony was saying there in his press conference. A couple of things. One is he says that, you know, he was asked if he's going to be back, and he says up to the front office, up to the players. Ozzie, do you think he'll be back?
Yes. Yes. Front office, got one thing about it. I think Tony deserves to be back because he's managing good enough. I think he deal with a lot of stuff during the season. Very hard thing to do. I think he did a great job. You put the balance. People will criticize because every manager should be criticized, but you put the balance between bad and good and bad. I think Tony La Russa did a good job. He do better than people thought he was going to do. In the beginning of the season, they go, oh, my God, my man is sleeping. My man, what's wrong? All of a sudden, start to know the players, and I think that's going to be an advantage to Tony to know the players' spring training, what we can do, what he can do, where I can use them, how I can use them, and that will help him. I said, yes, he should be back, and I think we should be support him back, and hopefully those guys stay healthy for him to compete.
Well, it's funny. When a team loses, there's a lot of reasons to second guess.
By the way, yes, besides you're bring Tony, were you going to bring Connie Mack?
bring Connie Mack back?
Connie Mack back.
It's been a little while for Connie Mack.
Yeah, that's what
now,
I
do. Now he'd be 187.
Okay, I honestly think, people need to wear suits and ties in the dugout again, though, like Connie Mack used to do.
Yeah,
we could bring that back.
Yeah, but that, you know, I mean, that guy went to me. Maybe he's what, 79 years old?
Well,
whatever.
He's 77 right now.
He's just turned 77.
But to get to this point, he went through a lot of stuff, and he handled him very well. Now all the stuff people were talking about, how he's going to be in at the ballpark, how he's going to be dealing with the players, the first time I ever hear how the manager will deal with the players. Mm-hmm. I always say how the players are going to deal with the manager.
And it's a different era, though.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm not talking about Tony La Russa is the Hall of Famer, championships. I'm talking about Tony La Russa right now. I don't care if Tony's 20 years old right now or is what he is, Hall of Fame right now. But I think, to me, overall, you put that thing in the balance, I think Tony did a tremendous job.
All right, let's hold on a second. I just got to add this because we're going to show it to you later.
Please.
I had two highlights of this game for me. One was you calling Gavin Sheets in a home run, so congrats to you.
Yeah, I don't I'm the type of, like, you're saying that to me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But it's like when somebody hits for the cycle and loses 15-1. Like, but, or, you know, 15-2 or
but
whatever.
You know what? I'm trying to find, but it's the silver lining.
I'll be your silver lining, Jack.
I need some silver lining.
Happy to be your
the
silver
other
lining.
The other silver lining is
Rita. What's it, ladies?
Ruby.
Name? Ruby. Call Ruby. She told you everything.
Ruby. Liam Hendricks, fortune teller.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All
right. Well, I met at the All-Star game.
You did not.
No.
I met Ruby at a restaurant at the All-Star
and
game.
She told you, hi, I'm Ruby?
Yeah, and she told me the day I was going to die. No, she
did.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm
right.
kidding.
No, because every time by Ruby, I say, you know, I would never see anybody, no matter what your religion you are, tell you, this is going to be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because if I was, you know, Hendrick, I say, oh, you guys are going to lose 10-1 again.
With you on the mound in the ninth.
And you're going to pitch the last inning down by 10-1. I don't know.
Thanks, Ruby.
I believe in a lot of things. Believe me, I do believe in a lot of things.
You don't believe in psychics?
No, but I believe in El Chivo.
Oh, we're going there again. Okay, so, and the other thing is you're throughout the first pitch. So we're going to show Gavin Sheets, you throughout the first pitch. We're also going to be showing the greatest moments of the show later in the show. So stay tuned for that because we had quite a year, didn't we?
I love it.
Yeah.
I do have fun. I love it. The only crazy thing about it was sitting for 4 hours listening to Jason Minetti and Steve Stone. I'm like, oh, my God, again.
You know what? This has
paid.
Been a pleasure, gentlemen, but, you know, I do have to go.
We had a lot of Jason Minetti and Steve Stone in our lives. Okay, let's get to the third inning because the bases are loaded. There are two outs, okay? Kopech is in the bullpen, and Rodon is allowed to pitch to Correa, and this ended up being our play of the game. Elgin Hyundai is brought to you by Home of the Double Guarantee. You said, Ozzie, at the time, what did you say to us about Kopech in the bullpen.
I said, why we have Kopech up? He's not going to face it. You know, I think it was a one hitter, two. I know, second guess the manager after the fact is easy. Mm-hmm. I said right away, I said, oh my God, what Kopech is doing there? I don't think it was ready yet.
You don't think Kopech was ready to come in yet?
That's the only way you let this guy special. We don't know what Rodon going to bring, and you don't know he already got a base hit. And we just say, well, Kopech might be not ready, might be going to face it. And there's a lot of opportunity to do that.
I want to ask you a question, because you hear that often. Managers say, well, you know, if he would have gotten through that, we would have let him go further. How does that work in your mind as a manager where you got a guy up and then you say, well, let me have him face one more guy? Like, what are you calculating there?
It's a funny thing about it, because I go righty-righty. I got the best righty I have in the bullpen right now. And he told me, I'm ready to go. I want to bring it. He got to cut the bleeding right there. And besides that, we don't know exactly what Rodon he can be doing. And he was doing very well. He get in trouble. He said, I got Kopech up. Facing that guy, unfortunately, he did and get a big, big double.
Well, yeah. Pretty clearly, Rodon wasn't going to go something like 5 or 6 today. Because if you're thinking about pulling him in the third, you didn't really have any designs on him going into the 5th or 6th, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. Everybody should be ready early.
Yeah.
I think Kopech was – I don't know if Kopech was ready, but, Tony have it up. The question is Kopech was ready enough to come to the game, or he need a couple more pitches, or need one more body to get ready? That thing we don't know about it.
And we didn't hear Tony speak post-game a lot of what he said. So if it was asked, hopefully someone asked him about it. If not, I don't know. But that was a question that I wanted answered.
But right now we're in a national media size. We're not a Chicago media size. Like, they'd be like, how Abreu feel after he got a hit by pitch? No, thank you. I don't know. They might ask him.
All right. And I don't like that it was an 0-2 pitch that he hit that on. Fastball, 0-2.
By location.
Yeah.
Location is very important in baseball games.
Yeah. All right. So then Kyle Tucker gets on, and Ozzie was on today. Ozzie, you were on. You
Always
said.
On.
Yeah. So Kyle Tucker steals a couple of bases. Why was he able to steal 2 bases on Kopech?
Well, the first thing, they're not stealing much during the season.
Yeah.
But I see you high kick, easy place to go. You got to run.
Yeah.
You got to run because they say, well, we had a great opportunity. Look, it was 1-4, 1-5 to the plate. I don't know by numbers. But you can see how easy it was. Now watch this. Same way. There you go. 1-2 go. Now
got
a chance.
The kick. Yeah.
Then especially maybe the guy knows his breaking was coming. Easy way to pick. They steal bases. Now baseball, in this era, people not run. People not bunt. But now, in the playoff, you see people bunting and people running.
Well, I would say, too, when you're in the playoffs, you have more time to deal with tendencies. You're not thinking, well, you know, it's June 15th, so, you know, they're coming in, and we'll just do what we do.
Yes.
These matter more, and you're going to find any angle that you can find.
And they did.
Yeah. And but as you said, it's a team that doesn't run very much. So my question to you would be, how do you fix the run control situation the Sox had this year?
Well, first of all, people say they throw against the catcher. No, they throw against the pitcher. If you're quick to the plate, you're going to give better chance to the catcher to throw the guy out. And that's one thing. And I hate when people worry about the guy in first and don't worry about the guys at the plate to get him out. And that's it's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard to go out and try to protect both the plate and the guy in first base. They got to learn that because that's a very important baseball game now.
All right, so there was a lot of controversy. Certainly in the media, I don't know if it was as much with the Astros and the White Sox over what Ryan Tepera said after Game 3, saying, you know, there's some sneaky stuff going on with the White Sox. I'll start with the Astros. Martin Maldonado tweeted after that saying it's always good to get some extra motivation. And he used some extra motivation when he had that hit off of he got hit off somebody. It was off Kopech, maybe. Yeah, it was Kopech with 2 strikes, an RBI single.
It's another situation right there. You got Bergman. And you got Alvarez, a lefty behind that, against a lefty pitcher. I don't care. I will walk that guy and hope. Is Alvarez hit a home run with bases loaded? Good for you. It's something, you know, I mean, like I told you guys, wait a minute, why? And happened right away.
I want to know what happened with Kane guy. The guy with the cane. There was magic in Game 3. Why wasn't it there in Game 4?
But he was here, but it was a night cane.
Oh,
I think it's a night cane only.
I take the thing away from him because he take a picture of me.
He did.
I don't know what it was. Ozzie Jr. told me that's the guy with a cane. I said, he's stealing from my house, from me? I was like, oh. Then I take a picture with it. I don't know what it was. It was right behind the plate. Yes, it was.
All right, so night only works during the night.
Night game.
And then if it ever fails at night, it only works in the morning and on Sunday nights.
Yeah, it could be a weekend cane.
No, it can be, it might can help him when he go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, like he tried to hold himself to go there.
There's magic in the cane.
Magic in the cane.
All right, so on paper, I loved Michael Brantley's matchup with Carlos Rodon going in. Rodon against Brantley. Brantley was only 3-for-30 in his career against Rodon. I retired him the first two times, but then you got to the bullpen, and Brantley does what Brantley always does against the White Sox, drives in a big run. This came off Aaron Bummer to make it 6-1, and my living nightmare of Michael Brantley continues, Jason.
It's just a deep lineup. Yes, I mean, you look at this lineup. If Maldonado's going to get hits off of you, and if Jake Myers, and I know he went out of this game, but if Jake Myers is going to get hits too, they are 1-9. They're legitimately 1-9, a dangerous order if Maldonado ends up producing. So, but for me, Brantley is a key to this lineup because he is in the middle of that, and he forces your decisions in the bullpen with a three-batter minimum rule.
Especially, you know, we got all the righties, all the Sundays, man, be protecting by big boys.
Yeah.
Obviously, they got a pitch to him, and, you know, Bergman behind that is Alvarez. Then after that is Correa. You know, I mean, those guys very loaded in the lineup.
Yeah, and you have Jose Altuve, who is the big home run. Like, thanks for nothing, Jose Altuve. At the end, like, we don't need three more runs. These guys, they're feeling really good going into this ALCS as they make the League Championship Series for the 5th year in a row. Think about that, 5 years in a row getting this far.
It's a core that the Sox hope they can replicate. I mean, this is what the Sox want to be long term. To me, this is the blueprint.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about that any, but a little think about that any. They hear Jose
Abreu,
the any before, and nobody do anything. And we're family. Well, that's a question mark up there. I know what's too happy about the way they control that. Do he this guy? We are the pennant race. I got to drill everyone, including Dusty Baker.
But I will say this. They did it, Ozzy, they did it all year long. There was never a certain, like, you know how I've said it to both of you and on the air, how I feel about hitting people. I don't think it has a great place in baseball. I think you can play this game without being that level of aggressive. You and I disagree on that. But what I will say is the Sox defended their guys all year long. At this point, when you're going to get bounced, possibly, like, your playoff life is at stake, I don't particularly care. Like, my goal is to win this game. I get that you're defending your guys and you've done it all season long. At this point, try to string together a bunch of runs. I just don't care. Personally, as a fan, I don't care that much.
I do.
I know you do.
I do because if you hit my guy, I will protect him, and you think they hit him purple. But we go, it seems like, wow, three balls in, you hit it.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
Lights are coming up.
Ambulance is coming down to center field, picking people, players down in the home plate.
There is old school Ozzy coming through.
No, yeah, I'm telling you, I hate everyone, and I hate one. Make sure we got bro, then we take care of business.
Oh, you want?
But we already did that this year. That's happened.
No, he wanted
this
to brawl
already.
Though. You wanted to brawl.
Yes.
Well, you want to go?
But the funny thing about it is, for real, that's the way they play. The way we play. I will hit somebody, or nothing happened. Next one down, after one party, go, okay, it's a warning. I will hit you again. And I say, okay, it's a bro. Let's go get it. Because if we thought that was on purpose, it turned out that it was on purpose.
I think he did.
Okay.
He said afterwards he thought it was intentional.
Okay, he's on. Is that come from the bullpen? We are family. A family. If you do that to Ozzy, Osne, Oni, Capitan, and Adela.
Yeah.
Is on, buddy. I go to Cook County jail for them, and that is on.
But that's what you said. That's what you said. Like, there would be charges for doing that. On a baseball diamond, it's okay for you to take a ball and throw it.
I call a lawyer. Say, hey, I just got here because this. But
so you're saying Liam Hendricks should have come on the mound?
Whoever come on the mound
and hit somebody.
That's my opinion. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
This is exactly what Jason thinks.
Yeah. There's no one to say. Maybe.
There's like a wall between us on this one. We agree on a lot of stuff, but not this.
All right, coming up, more of our conversation here on the White Sox Talk podcast. We're back after this.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Carlos Rodon, he was the big mystery. How hard would he be able to throw? He was going 98, 99. Those big strikeouts against Bregman and Alvarez. I mean, this place was shaking when that happened. Ozzie, start with you. What did you think from what you saw from Rodon here today? Were you surprised he had this velocity?
A lot of guts.
Yeah.
A lot of guts. And I'm proud to him because he don't know how it's going to be. He said, I feel better. I feel good. Nobody knows in this ballpark how it really does. When I see him strike out in a crucial situation, throw 98, 99, I say, well, it's there. And Houston Astros had to make an adjustment like the 92, 93 they see for last outing. And they did it right away. I make him pitch.
They said it before the game. Are we going to get the 91, 92? Are we going to get the 97, 99? And for Carlos Rodon, you said it. There's some pride there, I think, for Sox fans because you see those two guys together on the podium. And Gavin Sheets is new here, and he's just trying to be a part of it next year, as he says. You got Carlos Rodon, who's been through just about everything that a pitcher would ever go through on the mound with shoulder and elbow and everything that happened with him and being non-tendered. You take this guy, and he's a gamer. Yeah, the result wasn't what you wanted today, but you feel comfortable handing him the ball, I think, today. And I think Sox fans felt that way, too, knowing him over the course of years.
And he's a free agent, so we'll see what the future holds for Carlos Rodon. Meanwhile, Gavin Sheets, I think the South Side's in his blood. When he plays in this park, big things happen, and he hits a home run. That was the only run they scored, but, I mean, that was a massive shot by Sheets.
It was. I love the swing. I've loved the swing since he came up to the big leagues. And for me, I'm not a scout, but, like, left-handed power in Major League Baseball doesn't come around all that much.
Sox have been looking for it
since
Tommy.
He fits that bill. I think he's going to be a major part of this thing, don't you?
I believe so. They're looking for right field for the last 30 years. They signed Mazzara.
Mazzara, that didn't work out.
Oh, God. But I think this guy, they find who can be the kid.
Or at least a DH. No, honestly, I like him as a DH just because they can't find a DH anywhere.
No, just get the DH to me is a guy you need a day off.
Yeah,
DH.
That's true.
But
he's not a right fielder. He's a first baseman, really.
Well, you put in right field. Right now, you see Vaughn, they play left field. He wasn't in left field, played third base. He was at third base. I get this guy, you can put it in and right field and look for another place, another ball players. But this kid, what I see, his swing, it was great.
Yeah.
He was great enough because he never changed his swing. He come down on production. The only thing I got to tell the White Sox do to this kid, we play Hunt, you playing. When you will go out, IL.
On the road, you mean?
3 days IL. Why? You got something inside. No, but this kid, he got a lot of confidence.
Yes.
A lot of confidence. He got big hit for the White Sox through the year. Now, when you start in lineup in this situation, he grew up a lot. And again, this kid should be the right fielder next year. DH, little first base. You can go in the line to help each other, to help to stay fresh. I think this is the right hit.
All right, so let's get to the hit-by-pitch. So late in the game, Jose Abreu is up, and obviously we know that Tony La Russa does not like it when Jose Abreu gets hit. And they were going inside, and Ozzie, you think it's intentional. Tony thinks it's intentional, and he was fired up about it. He said the BS word about 10, 15 times out there.
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, I want you to talk about
Benetti,
it.
Well, Benetti, you go first. Because
you go first.
I need to
relax
to talk about it. Why? Because if that happens, I'm managing. We're still fighting.
You're still fighting.
Yes.
But what does that do? My question is
nothing. Just to take that thing out of myself.
Yeah. So like, we finally got to it, right?
I will feel better because when you have family, you got to fight for a family. But that got to come from the players or the manager.
Because it's just to stand up for yourself.
But the Sox have done that four times this year. What has it done?
No, but you know what? It was a special time, great, perfect time. You know why? Because, okay, we're not going anywhere. Let's start a fight. in the last inning and make sure I get somebody I heard him for the next round. That's the way they teach me how to play baseball. That's the way I learn how to play baseball. Now, baseball is a little soft.
You pointed at me.
No, it's a little soft.
To be clear.
No, it's just like, wait a minute. The way I grow up.
Yes.
Believe me. They need a pitcher for the infield because I run out of pitching staff.
You said you're going to throw a baseball at Dusty.
I will try to hit Dusty too. And by the way, Dusty's one of my buddies. I love him. I went out to say congratulations today. But if I think it was intentional, nobody had to tell me anything.
Would it be intentional? Why would they throw at Abreu right there?
I think that was stupidity.
We think it was because of what Tepera said, or was it because they threw it at Altuve?
I think because what Perez.
What Tepera said?
Tepera said because Altuve got hit 1-0. I don't think they want to hit him.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that then.
No, because
especially when
season's on the line. But what they did to them, that's the same way I criticized Tony when they hit Otani. Same way I got
to
do it.
Yeah, and to be clear, I am not in favor of hitting Abreu. Like,
yes, you are. So people keep saying it over and over.
Will you please go away? Look, I'm not in favor of hitting Jose Abreu. I'm done with that. Yeah. He's done with that. He's kept it in for most of the season. If that was intentional, it's ridiculous. You're up 10-1, whatever it was, 7-1 at that time. It's ridiculous. It's pointless. There's nothing there for you. You're going to move on. The way I've always thought about it is get your revenge by beating the other team.
Yeah, don't throw it at Abreu.
Just win the game.
But the first pitch was inside. All right. The next one inside. Then when you hit somebody with no intention, because I see Abreu get hit down here.
Lots.
Hands. When Robert's first at bat, he got hit. You know, it was pitch inside. But when that boy's behind you.
Yeah.
Behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You hear the alarm here?
Yeah.
That was like, pick somebody up, be dead in the field. Because, no, I'm telling you. Bro, I grew up in the wrong.
I know you did.
Maybe
different
I grew
era.
Up in the, maybe
different
I grew up in a different era.
Yeah, you did.
But that's a way to take care of pieces.
Yes.
I say, hey. I will talk. I say, hey, guys. First guy coming in, got to go down. Not the manager, not the players. I was Tim Anderson when Hendrick coming in. Hey, you know what? First guy got to go down. Why? Because I did a playing shortstop.
Yeah.
I did say, why? First guy got to go down. I don't care about what the manager think. Why? Because it was intentional. I don't care what people say.
That's what Tony says.
No, it was.
Yeah.
If Major League Baseball say not, they need another job. That was intentional. If that was saying by Dusty Baker, no, maybe not. Maybe that
he may not say it.
Maybe come from the bullpen, but whatever it was, just to me, it was intentional. That's why we're still fighting.
Lance McCullers leaves the game. We didn't know this until afterwards. Left the game with right forearm discomfort. I thought the Sox had a good approach against him. They just couldn't scratch enough runs across the board.
Well, they let him pitch very well. Then when McCullers went out of the game, I said, you know what? We might have a chance. The bullpen, it's not that good enough to stop. I'm not going to say the bullpen was bad. It was good enough to stop the White Sox bat. All of a sudden, they did. They shut it down. All of a sudden, the more run they score, less energy the White Sox body have.
Yeah.
And, man, it's just like little by little. Little by little. That surprised me to start the game today.
It did. You thought he'd go game five?
Big time surprises, yes. Because I got to let my guy back. Then Dusty Baker take it back and say, you know what? If we don't win today, who guarantee tomorrow? And that's why we were thinking. Thinking was right. I thought he got to throw more innings than what he did, but he got sore and they take him out.
You know, the Astros all series responded to the Sox. You know, the Sheets hits the home run. This place is rocking. And then the Astros very quickly, you know, with the pitching change, Kopech, as we talked about, the Astros take the lead. They get a couple of runs. They get three more in the next inning. And it was the same thing in game number two, right? The decision to bring in Crochet. And then the Astros come back, score a couple runs after the Sox are up 4-2. I mean, there were opportunities for this team. So I think Sox fans, as you look at this, like, this team could play with the Astros. I think, and Tony said this after game two, that the score was misleading. I feel like that's true. I think there were opportunities to keep the lead in this series that went by the wayside for the White Sox.
There's no doubt about it. It's just like they went the thing they could do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see those guys, you know they're going to respond right away, especially they got a chip on the shoulder, like I said yesterday. And Tepera, after he made the comment, go, uh-oh, don't wake him up.
Don't wake him up.
And it did. And at some point, some part of the player said, hey, look at what this guy say. Let's do it. And obviously, Tepera back it up because he threw the ball very good against them.
Yeah. Well, then Astros may have backed it up by beating the White Sox 10-1.
I like what, you know, I mean, like Dusty said to his defense on defense buckler. I said, wait a minute, the White Sox 30 games over 500 at home, in the road they're not playing well. Be careful what you're saying. They can could have said, you know what, they do the same stuff. If they think we did it, they did it too. And I think these guys between the lines, this game, you know what, the fact what happened outside, what they do, what they're doing. And I think if they know there was relating pitches, it's an easy way to do it. Change the sign.
Yeah.
Change the sign. Make sure the first base coach don't move. Make sure that you got to watch everything. It's one thing about it. You got to quit reading books during the game. You got to put attention to what people does. It's a player on the White Sox couple of times move when the pitch is coming, and they saw that. Okay? They saw that, and I had that from the Houston Astros this morning. Text them. I said, they can take whatever we want. We got that from something out.
Yeah, so they did that. They were watching where Tim Anderson was being positioned.
I don't know what Tim Anderson or somebody in the infield or the way Grandal was catching. You never know. You know, you can see the guy go fastball, then up, breaking ball straight up, you know, up and up his thing, make sure he go down with the breaking ball to block. It's so many little things in baseball. When you watch that and you quit watching stats and all the stuff with the guy, you watch the little thing, you can pick it up right away, somebody making a mistake on the field. Now we got a hit from that.
Well, here's the thing with the Astros, and, if they didn't have this cheating scandal that's on the back of the minds of everybody, they've got coaches in that dugout that, you know, they see things and they do things to take advantage of it that are legal.
That's smart. That's not cheating.
Right. But when you have a backdrop of a cheating scandal and that going on, that is going to raise the suspicion of people like Orion.
That's what it'd be. Okay, is that cheating stuff going to be in a cloud for Dusty Baker? So wait a minute. But they're still doing it. I said, wait a minute. Listen, that's what I say. Those guys got two things right now. Dusty, win, Hall of Famer. If they win, they're going to say, you see, we win without do what we did in 2017.
Now, I will say, I think part of the reason that players are saying this is because there are players on other teams that are not happy that players in the Astros dugout didn't get punished. It was front office people and
that's
staff
different.
Members.
I always criticize that.
That's the way it's coming out. That's why that's coming out, I think.
That's not the player's fault. That's Mr. Manfred not have big guts to say, to do what he had to do.
But that's the damage that happens is that dugout starts to say things.
Okay, in that punish, who pay? Alex Cora,
AJ Hinch.
They still have a job.
Yeah, they came
back. The general manager can record his name.
Luno.
Yeah, everybody out, like, don't be a bad kid. What? Okay, it's
that's your punishment, Jason.
Yeah. If that's the extent of our fight today, I'm good and I'm safe. But anything beyond that,
nobody gonna do anything. Is that the players feel that way?
Yeah,
they have the right because I say nobody punish it. But that's like let's make a deal. You say what's going on, and you'll be okay. That's my opinion. But.
That's why that happened.
Yeah. But that's why that has happened. I've talked to players from across Major League Baseball that feel that way, and I think that's why it comes out.
That's not a player's fault. That's a Major League Baseball.
Right. But
people.
This is what they call collateral damage.
That's collateral damage. That's exactly what it is.
That's easy. Alex Cora, one of my youngest sons.
Yeah.
Love Alex to death.
Yep.
But all the son like okay. You're not going to pass today, but next year you're going to have a chance to go to college. That's the same way. They did not do anything. Hinchy got a job. Alex got a job.
If they would have punished those guys, the players.
Okay, by the way, one guy, Pete Rose, don't have a job because he's supposed to be cheating.
Well, that was after the fact.
Thank you. Okay, then, we're going to punish you. That's scandal. Let's talk about this scandal. Slack will be here for all night.
Yeah,
that scandal is worse. That scandal can be bigger than White Sox.
The Black Sox scandal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Black Sox scandal, everybody's out. Everybody. Now, when that happened, now they're going to punish the place. Now, they don't have nothing to do. They got to go out there and play, and they kick the White Sox behind. They did. Period. What happened in the past, what happened now, from now on, it's over with. It's a Major League Baseball fault. They don't do what they should be doing, and the play is like, okay.
But at the same time, when Tapera said that, my first reaction was, I'm glad he said it. And I'm like, no, he shouldn't have said it during the series.
No, because people say, oh, really? Okay, let's go do it. I said before the series, I told you, Houston Astros need to win the World Series to say, you know what? I wear the ring.
It's 2017.
Yeah, 2017, that ring somewhere hiding.
Well, I want to say this, too. Sometimes you say things and do things, and you might know something about this considering
the
last
it.
Segment. Sometimes you say things and do things just because it makes you feel better.
Yes.
Right? I think Ryan Tapera probably wanted to say it because it made him feel better. Just like you said, you want to throw at somebody because, you know what? My heart needs it.
Yeah,
that's what I want out of life right now, is I want to throw at somebody.
There's one thing about it.
So he wanted it.
With a fact. I hate when people lie to a fact. Okay, we're going to do it to you because you do this.
Yeah.
That's it. And Major League Baseball did a horrible job doing that. Mm-hmm. That's why players, I don't care, players still talk about it. Talk about it. Like last night, I watched Alex Cora clinch. I got tears in my eyes watching him.
For what he went through
with
in
his daughter.
Back. Yeah.
But it's not Alex's fault is it being there, because Alex know and his family know where he went through it. Mm-hmm. With that. But the punishment was Alex? No, it was more than the players involved with the problems, and they don't do anything now. They just say, okay, just pick these three guys, move on. Nowadays, 2021, the Houston Astros players don't have nothing to do with that. They did what they had to do, move on, and forget it. When people say here, what, cheater, cheater, yeah. Cheater, I say, what they named Jeter? He's not playing anymore.
But they thought the Marlins were it.
Yeah, it's like Jeter.
I will say this about Alex, though. It speaks a lot to Alex Cora and his character that he's back with the Red Sox.
And I like that.
Yeah.
But in the meanwhile, a lot of guys do little things less than him. They're out of baseball. They're like, no, you're not allowed to be around.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I have. I don't criticize anyone. It's just like, hey, the hammers, it had to be from everyone. Now the Houston has to play. He had carry that for the rest of their life. That's not right.
Well, a lot of things weren't right for the White Sox in the ALDS. We're going to dig deeper into this on the podcast tomorrow. And, you know, going back to spring training, the goal was to win the World Series. It didn't happen. So what can the White Sox do to improve this offseason and get closer to winning a World Series? We're going to have many podcasts about that in the days and weeks ahead. The White Sox season might be over, but White Sox Talk podcast season never ends. We're going to be here all winter long to get you through the snow and the cold. It gets me through the snow and the cold, and get you through a world without White Sox baseball. We are here to fill that void. The end of the season is always tough, especially this one. But I can tell you better days are ahead. This team is young and talented. They're going to learn from what happened, both good and bad, and put more smiles on your faces. And let me tell you, it was so great to see so many big smiles on the faces of so many White Sox fans at the park this year. With me spending so much time in the studio nowadays, I am not at the park as much as I used to be. But when I was there, and especially during the ALDS, I saw absolute euphoria from Sox fans. You guys and gals were just, you know, it was like, it was a different thing, a different look, a different feeling, a different vibe. There was so much in your faces that gave me so much joy, because it's fun. You know what this team is. You know what they can do. They have given you so much joy and excitement and memories this year. And I feel like we've all been kind of going along, living that same experience, watching what this White Sox team has done together. And so when I see you and you see me, it's kind of like a knowing, yeah, we're all one. You guys are like family. So I can't tell you how many just faces I've seen, people I've met, people I've seen this year, especially coming out of the pandemic when I didn't get to see many people at all. It was great just to be back at the park and being with you again and seeing what you are experiencing firsthand. So the team did not reach all of its goals, but they're going to get better. I know it. And I want to thank the White Sox for all that they did for all of you and for me getting to cover this team. And I want to thank all of you for listening to the podcast and following this White Sox team start to finish. So, my thanks to all of you for listening to the podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/sox. Again, the White Sox season is over, but the podcast season never ends. We'll be back soon. In fact, we'll be back tomorrow. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.